Ooh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I love that.
Thank you.
It was a nightmare.
Welcome to Kills and Chills. This is Dan.
I'm Ken.
What's up?
What's good, guys? It's Friday.
It sure is.
It's Dan's birthday. Ah! Woo! No one gives a fuck, but... Yeah. Well, no one is here to give a fuck. Yeah.
We wake up your mom.
And my mom's gonna be like... Yeah, leave me alone.
I'm fucking dead.
What's up, guys?
How goes it? What's going on?
Hopefully it goes well.
Plans tonight?
Because we have plans. You don't care, but we're going to tell you. We're going to go have dinner with friends for Dan's birthday.
Thank you.
And then we're going to... First of all, I didn't say anything good. I didn't compliment you.
Yeah, I said thank you, like, because you're going to come with us to have dinner. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for making my day special.
Oh my God, the fucking cake thing was hilarious.
What happened?
So Chad comes up, or who came up to me?
Oh wow.
My stomach.
It's saying.
Derek was like, hey, so like, are you getting Dan a cake? And I was like, hey, honestly, I hadn't even thought about it. And he was like, we need to get her a cake. And I was like, yeah, okay, where do we get it from? And he's like, I don't know, ask Chad. And I was like, Chad, where do you get it from? And Chad's like, Kroger. And we're like, is there a Kroger nearby? He's like, in Conroe. And I was like,
hello?
But like, is there one here? He's like, And I was like, damn it.
I'm fucking
dying. So Derek's like, okay, I'll just go to Kroger. Sorry, my things.
He Googled where a Kroger was.
He's like, I'll just go to Kroger after work and I'll pick it up. And I was like, all right, sick.
There's so a then, Kroger by on Wayside. I used to go there.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Interesting. Wham.
Yeah.
And then, it's close. Like... he gets to Kroger, he sends me pictures, and he's like, what do I get? And I'm like, I was like, okay, find the chocolate one. And then...
But how did you know that you had it was a chocolate one?
Because I DM'd your sister, like a weirdo.
I'm fucking dead. She listens to us now.
Oh, does she?
I think she just might miss me, but because I said this, she might stop listening.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was like, just pick a chocolate one. He's like, and then like the Spider-Man one is in the corner, and I was like, no, get the Spider-Man one. And he's like, but it's not chocolate. I was like, damn it.
It'd be fine. Had it been vanilla, it'd be like cool.
I was pissed because yeah. I wanted Spider-Man.
I would have also been down for Spider-Man.
That's what I'm saying. So he's like, okay, what do I get? And I'm like zooming in the picture trying to see which was what flavor. Yeah. And I was like, just get the one with the balloons on it. And I was like, you put like happy birthday on there? Like ask the people.
Happy birthday, Dan.
Yeah. And he was like, the bakery's closed. I was like,
oh, damn.
And he was like, I was like, okay, well, maybe we can just pick up like icing and like do it ourselves. Yeah. So he gets the icing, and that's a whole other issue. Which one do you get? What colors do we want? And he's like, I'll get white. And I was like, yeah. Sick. So he got white. And then today, he's like, oh, and he goes to the card aisle and he's like, these cards are wild. And I was, like, looking at the aisle, and I was like, it's fine. I'll get it. So he's like, oh, God. God bless. So I get the card. And then this morning, he comes up to me with the fucking icing pouch thing. And he's just like, all right, I'm going to give it to Shaylee. We're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that sounds better.
Yeah, so we go, or he goes to Shaylee. And Shaylee's like, it's been opened. And he's like, because, like, it had icing around, like, the top. So someone had opened it, squeezed it out, probably, and then it had just, like, dried up and, like, crusted. And then we're like, I guess it's not going to say anything. Wow. So she had a nameless birthday cake.
Yeah, I sure did. Wow, that's interesting. Yes. I want to know more about my sister. What did you say exactly? May I see the DMs?
Yeah, nothing. I just said, like, what flavor cake did she like? That's it.
I'm fucking dead. I want to see it anyway, just because I know my sister's weird.
Oh, actually, I deleted it.
Ah, dead.
I'm fucking dead. She
Not that she's it. Weird, but I can imagine her saying some stupid shit to you just because she can.
I'm dead. Her carrot, me, done.
I'm dead. she's crazy.
Yeah, so that's what happened.
I like the cake. It was cold, but...
You're not, like, cold.
What well, not mean? That it was cold, but, like, the icing was, like, frozen on it, which, like, was hilarious, because Maria was like, oh, I can't cut it. I was like, I mean, I'll still eat it.
I'm fucking dead.
I'm crying. I'm gonna grab another Oreo. Yes.
Yes, Excelsior. No. Yeah, so it's Dan's birthday. That's cool, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, and then after we have dinner with friends, we're gonna go see It.
Chapter 2.
Mm-hmm. And that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's literally it.
Mm-hmm. So today, it's technically not a part 3 of the Killing Fields, but it's, think of it as a spinoff. It, you know, this episode does fall on my birthday, or as I'm recording. I don't want to think about death. I want to think about life. And what better way to fucking talk about it than to talk about someone very special to the Texas community?
Yes.
Okay. So last week, I talked about one of the victims, Laura Lynn Miller. She went missing in 1984 from League City after going to the convenience store to use the phone to call her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She went because her phone line wasn't working at her house because she had just recently moved to the area. Her mom tried to convince her, like, hey, you know, don't. And she was like, no, you know what? I'm old enough to go by myself. I'm 16. I can walk to the convenience store by myself and talk to my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that was the last time she was ever seen. Because she suffered from medical issues, her family notified the police right away. And because she suffered from medical issues, the police, and I guess also because it was like, in the 80s, but also because you remember how I kept saying, like, why do the police keep writing off these women as runaways?
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it, but it's the 60s, 70s, 80s. So in like 60s, you have the hippie movement. You have a popular like ideology for like young kids, but like, I'm going to run away. I'm going to join like a cult, like not like in a sense that it's like a cult. Band. Yeah, but like kids, you know, want to run away and find themselves, that don't think that, you know, oh, I might not ever see my family again. And maybe that's why the police labeled them as runaways. Mm. But in Laura's case, they're like, oh, she has all these medical issues. She's not a normal kid. She's probably troubled. She probably ran away herself as a means to get away from all these issues.
Also, I like when you talk because you do this, and it reminds me of chameleons.
Sad.
It's cute.
Thank you.
You fucking... God damn it. I made myself bleed.
Oh. Okay. So.
Tell us.
The police say that she's just a runaway. Her family's like, no, she's not. Her dad, like, him and his mom struggled after her disappearance. And they eventually did divorce. The dad, Tim Miller, he went the fuck through it. Like, I'm sure so did the mom, but he was torn up about it. He had just recently lost other family members. Mm. And, like, Laura's death, or, like, her disappearance was just, like, a total blow for him.
Aww.
So he jumped into the investigation. He wanted to help. When he heard... that 6 months earlier, before Laura went missing,
mm-hmm.
that the dog, ooh, hello, shh, that a dog had found the a human skull off of Calder Road.
Uh-huh.
And so he thought, like, you know what, let me tell this to the police. And he told them basically that he had suspicions. He felt something in his gut that told him that that's where his daughter was. Now the police ignored him. They said no. They didn't even let him investigate the area himself.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, because it is on a private property. So Tim wasn't allowed to go anywhere near there.
Right.
So it wasn't until 2 years later when they the two young boys, I'm sorry, the four boys riding their dirt bikes that discovered the Jane Doe. Remember that the police came to the property to investigate, and while they were looking for evidence for Jane Doe, who was later, you know, identified as Audrey Lee Cook, it wasn't until then that they actually found Laura's body on the exact same property that Tim had said she was in.
Oh.
Okay.
Horrifying? I can't even talk. Horrifying.
Yeah. Okay. Let me backtrack real quick. According to a Houston Press, like, Tim, when he went to the detectives to tell them of his theory that, you know, was eventually, like, right, the detective just, like, dismissed him with an eye roll. He just, like, rolled his eyes.
Oh, that's so rude.
Honestly. And especially, it makes me so mad because Tim was right.
Yeah.
He was right. And who knows? Maybe had they listened to him when he said it. What? Who? Oh, I'll reply to them in a sec.
Okay.
Thank you, Undercover Kevin.
Fucking Tim.
Okay. But maybe had they gone and searched when he brought it up, because Heidi's disappearance was under very similar circumstances. She also went missing from the exact same gas station.
Wow.
So had they followed up with this lead or, like, this tip, they might have found Laura's body, like, in time to preserve some evidence. That apparently the detective that he had reported this to and that had basically, like, brushed him off, he was like, look, he, like, offered a separate theory to Heidi's disappearance. He was like, some guy probably just, like, picked her up at the bar, like, you know, he took her, like, on a date or for sex, and he probably just, like, killed her, like, is basically what it is. But I mean, that doesn't make sense if she went missing from that convenience store. Yeah, he basically said that it was an isolated incident.
Yeah. Okay.
And that it wasn't connected to his daughter. But I mean, like, you have two girls that go missing from the exact same place. Like, how do you not at least follow up with it?
Yeah,
you know,
that's weird.
Now, that wasn't his only theory. Like, you know, over the course of these past, like, I don't even know, 30 years, he has other theories. He has had his own suspects. He at one point suspected Robert Abel, the guy that owned the property, of being the killer. And because these girls were posed, which basically means that they were, like, posed in a way that kind of, like, completed, like, the fantasy for the killer. Like, they were, like, laying down on their backs and with, like, their hands over their head. And so this was probably because the killer kept coming back to look at them.
Okay.
So, because, I mean, like, I mean, unless you're, like, crazy, like, well, which he was, I guess, you know, I don't think, like, just a normal person would dump a body and then keep going to back to that same spot when it's, like, in someone's property. What if you get caught, you know?
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, so he, like, firmly believed that Robert Abel, the owner of the property, was, in, you know, responsible for this. Authorities were able to compile they were able to, like, make a profile for the killer. And it did say he was a white male, probably really smart and stuff like that, you know, the usual serial killer stuff. And Robert Abel was a retired NASA engineer. He had retired from NASA, and he had opened up his horse trail rides that property. And so Tim, like, he went literally crazy going after this guy. Yeah. At one point, he brought, you know, he went to his house with a pistol and, like, threatened him and, like was trying to get him to confess to the murders. And I don't know, something in him just clicked and he, like, went and checked himself into, like, a hospital for help, for psychological help. Because, you know, it was crazy. And then at that point, in an interview that I read, he said, which we will link it, he said that basically in that moment, he knew that if he killed this guy and he wasn't responsible, then, I mean, like, you know,
it would be all for nothing.
Yeah, he, like, committed a crime. But, like, if it was, he was the killer and he killed him, he was going to take all that information with him to the grave. And, like, he was never going to get closure. But this guy isn't the only one, that he's suspected before. He has had other, suspects. One of the suspects was his neighbor, actually. He, like, lived down the road from him. Mm. His name was Clyde Hedrick, who I talked about in the last, in the last episode, that he got sentenced to prison, whatever. I was like, I'm sorry, guys. My mind isn't what it used to be. 26 is really hitting me hard.
I'm dead.
Okay, but in 2013, Hedrick was arrested for abuse of a corpse.
Oh.
Yeah, which was intense. Uh-oh. But, so basically, the rundown of this previous case was that he had been swimming with a woman named Ellen Beeson. And that, you know, during the swim, she drowned. And he freaked out and basically hid the body just because he didn't want to get blamed. Mm-hmm. And so, the Galveston County Medical Examiner said that the cause of death was indeterminable. So he couldn't be convicted of anything, like, murder-wise. Mm-hmm. So he only got convicted of abusing a corpse, which is a minor offense, surprisingly.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was sentenced to only a year in prison.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
So he eventually gets out and just lives the rest of his life like a free man. And then nearly 30 years later, investigators exhumed Beeson's body and discovered this time that she had actually died from blunt force trauma to the head. Mm-hmm. So Hedrick was arrested in 2013 and he was convicted and sentenced to 20 years in prison.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. So this is where Heidi's family and Tim also, like, they were following the case because they strongly believe that this guy might have had something to do with it.
Yeah.
with the murders. He has identified the wrong suspect before, so it's not that people aren't paying attention to him, but people are looking at it like that, but looking for more evidence to support, you know, his claims. Mm. Tim Miller was quoted saying, I suspected it was Clyde Hedrick back in 1986. So it's been a guy that's been on his radar for a while.
Yeah.
He also said, I certainly didn't anticipate that it was going to blow up this big, though. So, let's see. According to Miller, Clyde actually admitted to 3 cellmates when he was in jail, waiting to go on trial for the Ellen Beeson case, that he had sex with Laura before he murdered her, and then that he murdered Heidi Fi, and he had now murdered Ellen Beeson. Interesting. Okay.
That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. And the guy, Hedrick, has repeatedly denied killing Laura and the other victims, Heidi, and then I don't want to call them does, but that's the only way I remember them. Hold on. He denies killing Laura, Heidi. Oh, okay. Donna Prudhomme, he denies killing her as well, who was Janet Doe. And then Audrey Cook, who is Jane Doe, until this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So out of all this grief, in 2000, you know, he, like, I mean, honest, I mean, he, had he been on the police force, he would have found his own daughter's body.
Mm-hmm.
So he, like, put this, like, energy to good use and established an he created a volunteer organization called Texas Equisearch, who I have mentioned before on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Woo. So basically, Equisearch assists in missing persons cases. They train their volunteers for what to look for what questions to ask when you know, taking people's statements or tips. Mm-hmm. He, like, his organization, like, he has people, like, flying out on helicopters, riding on horseback, those four-wheelers. Mm-hmm. You know, he has, like, multiple, like, with his volunteer organization, he has a lot of resources that, you know, he puts to good use, basically. Yeah. Texas Equisearch, or TES for short, was officially founded in August of 2000. And he's just been, like, finding people, like, one after the other, like, since he started this organization.
Dang.
Like, notable searches, according to Wikipedia. Natalie Holloway, he helped on her investigation.
Wow.
The disappearance and murder of Jesse Davis. They also searched Acre Homes in Houston. Which is an area, because it had, they searched Acre Homes here in Houston, Texas. They searched for the possibilities of bodies in the wooded area that had been a recent dumping site for, like, someone.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They also helped in the Kaylee Anthony case.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Hello.
Yeah, and actually, they're, like, basically, like, suing Casey Anthony, or mm-hmm. Or they're asking to be reimbursed for the costs related to the search, which is over $110,000 for a 2-day search. Since, according to Casey Anthony's child testimony, the child was never missing.
Yeah.
According to her, so it's like, pay me my money. Okay, so according to the Texas Equisearch website, they have currently approximately over 1,000 members, all volunteers, and that it's growing rapidly. They are a nonprofit, but, you know, they're everywhere. It says that TES has been involved in 1,860 searches in approximately 42 states in the U.S. and then in Aruba, Sri Lanka, Mexico, Jamaica, Dominican Republic, and Nicaragua.
Wow.
So that's a lot.
That is a lot.
Mm-hmm. And this is, like, a small nonprofit made up of, like, not even 2,000 volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. According to the site, TES is responsible for recovering the remains of 238 missing persons.
Wow.
And bringing, like, closure to the families. And that many of those cases, you know, where the body was successfully recovered, it has resulted in criminal cases. Where was it? 'Cause they have found... I lost the number. Hold on. Because they have found an insane amount of missing persons, but alive as well.
Oh,
it's,
shit.
It's not just, like, you know...
Deceased.
The website also states that, additionally, Larry King Live, Fox News National, Greta Van Susteren, CBS 48 Hour Mystery, CNN, HLN, Nancy Grace, Glenn Beck, People Magazine, Newsweek, Evidence Technology, Dateline, 2020, Texas Horse Talk, and all other, and all the local news stations have featured the works of Texas EquiSearch and Tim Miller's experiences in the searches of lost loved ones, which is insane. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm,
yeah. Tim Miller also is a recipient of the Point of Light Award by George W. Bush. He also received the Jefferson Award from the City of Houston, the Foundation for Improvement of Justice in Atlanta, Georgia, and additionally, the Texas Daughters of the American Revolution Community Service Award.
So, a very commended man.
Yeah, like, he has, like, a ton of awards because, like, not only, like, I mean, probably that first case that we talked about, Laura Ayala, that he helped on, it was probably his volunteers that came knocking at our door. The Karen Perez case, like, no one was taking Karen's mom serious. Everyone said she was a runaway, that she had run away with her boyfriend, she's not really missing, and he was the only one that listened to her, probably because he knows what it's like to go to the police and that they won't, like, help.
Yeah.
And he was the one that found Karen, so, like, this man is, like, a hero.
Yeah,
me, I'm getting emotional. I'm sorry. But, you know, damn it, what a good man. We're gonna post, like, a link or something. I'm gonna post a link. And, I don't know, maybe we can donate or something. Because, I mean, this organization is literally, like, helping people, like, get closure for people to finally come home. So, I mean, this, if anything, I'm glad that we're getting the word out, you know, for this nonprofit, because it's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I have today, because I know we're on a time crunch.
We are on a time
crunch. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Yes. No, thank you for waiting.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Are you ready for me?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes.
I have for you another witch.
Yes.
By the name of Jenny Greenteeth.
Jenny Greenteeth, okay.
Yes.
I thought you were about to say green tea?
Green tea?
Yeah, like Jenny Greenteeth.
She's organic.
Yeah, like an organic witch.
Oh, she's like Soy Boy's cousin.
Oh my god, wow. Yes.
Okay, so Jenny Greenteeth has a shit ton of names.
Mm-hmm.
And the name seems to depend on the location. The tale of Jenny Greenteeth primarily comes from England. So in Lancashire, she's known as Jenny Greenteeth. Frack.
Hello. This whole time, it didn't, but now it did.
Yeah, yeah. So in Lancashire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lancashire, yeah.
Lancashire, she is known as Jenny Greenteeth. Mm-hmm. In Cheshire and Shropshire, she is known as Ginny Greenteeth.
Ginny. Okay.
Not Jenny. And then, she's known as Ginny Greenteeth, Jeannie Greenteeth, or Wicked Jenny.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot of...
She's got a lot of aliases.
She knows how to rebrand. She sure I'll tell does, you that.
Honestly. So, who is she, you may ask?
Mm-hmm.
She is a hag known for drowning children and the elderly.
She's a known hag?
What? A hag. Is a hag known for drowning children. Not a known hag. That's fucked up. Don't do this.
She's a known hag. Damn, bro.
Damn, you fucking roasted the fuck out of her.
No, stop.
Yes, she drowns the kids and the old people.
Mm-hmm.
She is described as a witch or a water fairy. Allegedly, her and her sisters dwell at the bottom of a pond. And when someone gets too close, they bring them in and drown them.
This is very, very mystical.
This feels like the Mire. What would happen at the Mire.
Yeah, you should write a story based on that. Find it on AO3, guys.
Yes, so you get close to the water. They, like, grab your feet, grab your arms, grab your dress, pull you in.
Oh, my God. Yes. They know I'm wearing a dress.
Wow. They're going to have to reach really far up because your dress is short.
Yeah.
You're going to get assaulted by the fucking witch.
Oh, my God. You make me sound like I'm a harlot. Like, I'm a...
You're salacious.
A woman of the street. A woman of the night.
A woman of the night. A prosti.
A prosti.
I saw it the other day and I thought of you.
I'm fucking dead. I'm dead. I love that. I saw a prostitute and I thought of you. Oh, my God.
Romance.
No one is going to be as romantic as you are with me.
So, She also is known to lurk on the upper branches of the trees, waiting for her victims.
Damn.
Myrlore once said. What?
No, go on.
Myrlore once said, I'll be watching you through the hollows of the trees, waiting for the day you'll die and be with me.
Yeah.
Dad Watson is so romantic, honestly.
That is honestly, yeah.
Like, I wish someone would be like, hey, man, I'll wait for you.
I'll fucking die.
Until you die. You can finally die with me.
I'm crying.
God damn it. Dan Watson, please marry me. Ooh. You keep cringing. What? Who sent you a message?
An old boy.
He's old?
No. A boy that I've kissed before.
A boy in the past.
A boy from the past. Yes. Exactly.
He's going to be like,
happy birthday, dude. I got you this dick.
Oh.
Probably. No, just kidding.
Whoa. Whoa.
No, he's not. Whoa. No, he's not. It's like, happy birthday, bro. We should hang out sometime. I mean, yeah, right.
I'm fucking dead. Yes. She's in the trees waiting for you to die. Some have even considered her to be memories of a sacrificial practice.
Whoa.
Which I don't know what that means, because I wrote these notes 5 ever ago.
I'm dead.
So I don't know. She is also said to have green skin with long black hair and razor sharp teeth.
She's very alternative.
This, like, fucking is sick.
She's very edgy.
I love it.
Honestly.
Like, if I could be anyone, I would be her.
Jenny Green Tea?
Jenny Green Tea.
Oh, tea? I called her tea? Jenny Green Tea?
Green Tea is Soy Boy's cousin.
Yes, Jenny Green Tea is also a witch that knows everyone's business.
Honestly, she has all the tea.
All the tea. And it's green.
And it's green. In some legends, it said that she would drown her victims, while in others, she would eat them up.
Mm-hmm.
There was one article that said she didn't eat them, but tortured them simply because she enjoyed watching them suffer.
Wow.
As I started reading into this, it started sounding more and more like a boogeyman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Until I found the article that said that Ginny Greenteeth may not be just a scary story.
She was a real person.
Perhaps. So... in Liverpool, there is a cemetery by the name of St. James Cemetery, which is a Victorian graveyard that has, like, a huge, really, really pretty cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
During the day, it's, like, it's very, very pretty.
Wow. Like, romantic? Like, we would take pictures there?
Yeah, honestly.
Oh, my God.
But at night, it's spooky.
Oh, my God. So we would still take pictures
there? We still would. And ghost hunters, like, frequent the place. Okay. It's also said to be haunted not only by ghosts of the past, but by vampires and pirates.
Oh, okay.
The cathedral is built on a hill called St. James Mount, which at one point was a Wiccan hangout.
Oh, wow.
Everyone was like, witch rituals.
Yeah. I can imagine you at the Wiccan hangout.
Yes, at the Sabbath.
Oh, fucking dead.
So, like, in the 20th century, a large wood statue was uncovered very close to one of the water springs. And it was like a lady and her arms were outstretched. And... the place in which this, like, thing was, was covered in Wiccan symbols.
Wow.
And also bared the name Jenna.
Oh. Interesting.
Apparently there's, like, a picture of it somewhere that the statue did exist, but the statue has since disappeared.
Wow. Disappeared or stolen?
Maybe she walked away.
Wow. You made that sound at the same time as that motorcycle.
I am the motorcycle.
Yeah.
It's speculated that the statue is that of Jenny Greenteeth or Jenna Green.
Oh, okay.
A Lancashire witch that was kicked out of her coven when she was found to be using her magic for nefarious things.
Wow. Oh my God.
There seem to be many variations of Jenny Greenteeth, and another is that of Screeching Ginny in a railway station in Liverpool. There's a plaque on one of the walls that commemorated the 1950s event of a group of kids being chased by a witch. Presumably by Screeching Ginny.
Mm-hmm.
The kids told their parents of what had happened, and they were informed that there was a spirit of a woman who had been crossed in love and threw herself on the tracks. She was crossed.
Wow, that sounds like you.
She killed herself on the train track. Honestly, yeah. Because
you'd be so dramatic enough to be like, well, and then go throw yourself on a fucking train track.
Oh my God, one time when a boy broke up with me on Valentine's Day, before Valentine's Day, I went into a depression for 3 days, and I literally went home from school, and I fell asleep, and I didn't wake up until the next day, and I did it again for days, and I was like...
I'm dead.
Oh, my life is never gonna be the same. I was so dramatic. This is why I'm single. I'm so dramatic.
I wish you guys could have seen the movements that she did. She's like, this is why I'm single. Like, you're like a teen girl. You put your hand up in the air, to your side, and you're like, this is why I'm single. And you bobbed your head a little. It was hilarious. I love it.
I'm dead. So,
oh my God,
is Jenny green teeth a thing?
We should find out. Get your passport. Let's go.
Let's fucking go. Anyway, that's all I got. We are on a time crunch, which is why this one's going to be very short.
Very short, yes.
But here you are. You've got content. We've got hunger.
Yeah.
We got to go.
We've got age as well.
We've got age.
Yeah.
Well, Dan's got age.
I've got
age. She's 42 now.
I'm 42, but Kren, I'm 42, she's 47.
I'm 12.
I'm dead. Anyway. If you're 12, then I'm 14.
Anyway, yes, thank you for joining us. You already know the spiel.
Yes.
Hit us up. Great.
We like you. Also, thank you to the guys that wished me a happy birthday. That was really sweet of you guys. I didn't think people would actually take the time to write me and be like, hey, happy birthday. Hope you have a good one. I love it. Thank you. I really appreciate you guys.
Yes.
All right.
All right, guys.
Bye.